This is WMUK's West Southwest. I'm Gordon Evans. Eric Nesbitt served three terms in the State House, then was appointed Michigan Lottery Commissioner, and he hopes to return to elected office next year. Nesbitt is one of three Republicans who is running in the 26th State Senate District, which includes Allegan and Van Buren counties, as well as part of Kent County. Eric Nesbitt, thank you for being here.
Thanks for having me, Gordon.
Why don't you reintroduce yourself to the audience, those who remember you, introduce yourself to those who maybe did not keep up with your activities as a state representative, and tell us what you'd like to do if you do get elected to the state Senate.
Yeah, thanks, Gordon. Thanks for having me. I appreciate being on. Name's Eric Nesbitt. It is Eric with an A, a little different spelling, but a middle of five kids all started with A's. And by the time mom got to me, it was either going to be Eric or Erica with an A, and kind of glad she went with Eric. But I grew up on a sixth-generation dairy and grape farm south of Lawton in Porter Township. So family's been farming for since in Van Buren since the 1840s, and actually in southwest Michigan since 1828. So it's a good history to have. And my sister and brother and dad are still farming right down the road. Graduated from Lawton High School, same school my brothers and dad and grandfather graduated from. Went on to Hillsdale College, worked my way through Hillsdale, did my degree in economics there. Worked a few years, and then I did a master's in international business. Worked for a taxpayer advocacy group for a while, fought for lower taxes, more open and transparent government. And I also worked, I was the lead Republican staff person on two different bipartisan caucuses, one dealing with manufacturing jobs, keeping them here in the United States, and the other dealing with energy issues, making sure we have more American energy. 2010, I was just tired of the direction of the economy here in Michigan, tired of that lost decade that we had, and decided to step up. I was tired of waving goodbye to my generation. And remember those days, we had double-digit unemployment. Family was leaving every 13 minutes from the state. It was a bad time. And so I ran for the state house in 2010 and served 6 years as state representative. I worked with Governor Snyder to balance budgets, pay down debt, repeal the old Michigan business tax, really concentrate on getting the economy going again. I served as the chair of the Energy Committee for 4 years. I was the majority floor leader the last 2 years. So I've always taken key leadership positions and to lead the caucus. And then when I was termed out in 2016, Governor Snyder asked if I was willing to serve in his cabinet. Served 14 months in his cabinet. And then after a lot of prayer with my wife over the winter months, we decided there was still more work to do. The cost of auto insurance is too high in Michigan. The condition of our roads, continuing to pay down our long-term debt and ban these sanctuary cities. And so that's really some of the priorities. And if we continue to pay down our long-term debt, like we've done over the last 8 years, we've paid down about $20 billion, Michigan will be debt-free by 2038.
Well, what is your long-term plan for reducing the cost of auto insurance in Michigan?
Yeah, I served on the insurance committee for 2 years and listened to dozens of hours of testimony. Did vote on a plan then that would have provided more choice for consumers in terms of the options of coverage. It would have would have provided cost savings for companies in terms of putting it to the workman's compensation, schedule, so there would be certainty in terms of the cost. Would have set up a fraud authority and done a full and I support doing a full audit of the MCCA. So I think providing consumers with more choice, providing better leverage in terms of negotiating the costs, and a plan like that could cut anywhere from 30% to 40% on auto insurance.
So when you say more choice, are you saying that people should still have an option for being able to receive lifetime care if they are in some sort of serious accident, assuming that they're willing to pay for that?
I mean, Michigan's the outlier state, in the nation. I mean, there's about a dozen states that have no-fault insurance, but we're the only ones with lifetime unlimited benefits. And that's really what drives up the costs here in Michigan. And so, yes, providing individuals a choice on whether they want lifetime unlimited, whether they want, $100,000 or $500,000, provide that choice to the consumers.
If somebody says, no, I don't want that lifetime benefit, mm-hmm. So they're obviously opting for cheaper insurance at that point, mm-hmm. but then they are seriously injured in some sort of accident. They do need lifetime care. What do we do?
Well, this is what other states do.
What do they do?
Yeah, they coordinate with their health insurance. So whether you have your own private health insurance company, or whether you have Medicaid or Medicare, or whether you have, you know, a Blue Cross, et cetera, that's the insurance that they go on in other states. The second highest state with coverage, I believe, is New Jersey at $50,000 of medical coverage, and then the your health insurance picks you up, you know, from there. And there's the negotiating power with hospitals is a lot greater through your health insurance companies than through auto insurance companies.
You also mentioned roads. The state does have a plan in place to improve roads. Is it happening soon enough, and does it have enough money behind it?
Yeah, I mean, 30 years of neglect to our roads, you're not going to get them fixed overnight. And so this is something where you're seeing an increase from 2015 to 2021 under the current plan, that the amount being spent, you know, statewide on roads will go from $3.5 billion to about $4.7 billion. This year, because of the growing economy and more tax revenue, the legislature did accelerate that some and added a few hundred million dollars to the plan. And so I believe this year it's up to $4.3 billion in spend. You need to continue to concentrate to make sure that we're prioritizing road funding here in the state. And I do think that we need to continue to make sure that we see this current plan through.
Is it going to be enough to address it long term? In other words, you know, can you get to the point where, as you say, you're not neglecting the roads, letting them fall into greater disrepair, which, of course, many people point out leads to more expensive repairs down the road?
It's not getting any cheaper in the future. And so this is something why, you know, during the debate in the last legislative session that I was in, that they wanted a phase in, because they were, other members were concerned that putting an extra $1 billion in the next year, or $1.5 billion in the next year, would probably increase the cost of contractors and the scarcity of goods. And so this was a phased in plan, and there are inflation adjusters on this to work to keep up with inflation. But it's also prioritizing in the general fund, you know, concentrating on roads, because believe me, we're not getting the same from that 19 cents or 26 cents per gallon that we were getting 20 years ago. And the cost to repave a mile of road is a lot more expensive today than it was 20 years ago. When I first was driving, I was getting 12 miles per gallon in my, 1984 Pontiac Parisina, right? Today in my Chevy Equinox, I'm getting about 28, 30 miles per gallon. And so the fuel efficiency, I mean, there's going to be longer term questions. That's why I supported growth in the general fund that we need to dedicate, prioritize to our roads and bridges.
The Citizens Research Council issued a report last year that warned of some tough choices ahead for the state because of promised tax credits, as well as the funding which is scheduled for roads. The report says that budget pressures will force the legislature to make tough choices with no future significant unrestricted general fund revenue sources and minimal growth of current revenues. Do you think essential services can be funded and done so without a tax increase?
Well, the Citizens Research Council is kind of a big government group anyway. Their research is always about how to grow the size and scope of government instead of how to strengthen the economy by limiting government. So that's the first thing in terms of, some of the, let's look a little deeper in some of these independent, quote unquote independent groups. I think as you look at it, we are still seeing some effects from 10 years ago, 15 years ago, of some of these promised tax credits from the Granholm heirs that are subsidized, credits that are there. Now, what we've done over the last 8 years in terms of repeal of the Michigan business tax, we've gotten to a simpler, fairer tax code. We've seen jobs grow by, 550,000 new private sector jobs over the last 8 years. We've built up about $1 billion in the rainy day fund 8 years ago before Governor Snyder. It was only $2 million that were in the rainy day fund. We've paid down about $20 billion of long-term debt, which is huge progress that we've made. I feel we've been making responsible budgeting decisions, but we need to continue down this path of making sure that we're conservative with our estimates, that we continue to prioritize roads and bridges, that we continue to prioritize paying down our long-term debt. Because if we can pay down our debt, we can free up even more money for, cutting taxes, for investing in roads and bridges.
So you're saying that you don't see a shortfall coming. You think the Citizens Research Council projections are off?
If you could predict the future, then you know you should be working on the Mercantile Stock Exchange or something instead of being in politics. But I do think we've built a strong foundation here in Michigan under Republican leadership and Governor Snyder, and I think we've built a very strong fiscal discipline in our budgeting process. But I think we need to continue to pay down debt. We need to limit the growth of government, and I think we can continue to prioritize our spending and even provide taxpayers here in Michigan an income tax cut.
What do you think the lessons are that the state should have learned from the Flint water crisis?
Yeah, I think there's the tragedy of what happened. My heart goes out to all the families that's there. I think it's the importance long-term of making sure that we have a growing economy and we have jobs for Michigan workers. And that's something that I think is so important. You've had a city that was a great city, 50 years ago. Everybody, it was full employment, big three, the General Motors was king in that city. And over the last 30 years, they've turned what was a thriving city into a really tough city now, with loss of population, loss of jobs. And so what we've seen is that fiscal and financial management is very critical, at the local level, having leaders that concentrate on growing jobs and having the economy. And then also the importance of infrastructure, of making sure that locals are investing in their water and infrastructure, locally. I've talked to, Lansing, for example. They started to trade out their lead lines, 15 years ago, and they made that as a priority. And that's something where I think it's about where you put in those priorities.
Specifically, when a state is managing a city or any sort of local government, sometimes it's a school district that is in distress. Do you think there was anything we learned about Flint about how the emergency manager law works, how it could work differently, work better?
Well, I think cities should better handle their finances so they don't get into that situation. I think that's the first thing, is that if you the whole point of an emergency financial manager and an emergency manager, the whole point of them is to prevent the city from going into bankruptcy. That there's such severe financial stress in that city or school district that the state puts in that emergency manager to prevent it from going into bankruptcy. And so that's something where if they do go into bankruptcy, that means all their debt and their bonds goes into the state, which means all the state taxpayers have to end up paying for it. And so that's what the goal is of an emergency manager, is that they don't go into municipal bankruptcy.
In terms of ballot proposals, the one we know that we are going to be voting on in November is one that would make recreational use of marijuana legal in Michigan. Should voters support that?
I think it's a deeply flawed proposal. I'll be voting no on it.
Why is it flawed?
I think as you look at it, the long-term issues that are there, I don't think we're properly thought out in terms of how, I'm not supportive of the expansion of recreational marijuana. And then two, I think the proposal in terms of the details on how it'll work out, I don't think it'll work properly in the state of Michigan. And then being able to fix anything on it is going to require a very large supermajority of the state legislature, which would be a challenge. So I think it's a flawed proposal.
Okay, but in general, you're against the idea of recreational marijuana being legal?
I think the current our current laws are sufficient for medicinal use.
As we get past the primary and into the general election, how much should Republicans want to align themselves with President Trump?
I'm a strong supporter of the president. I introduced Mike Pence at a Trump rally here in Kalamazoo in 2016. And it is something where this year I think the president understands the base of the Republican Party better than most presidents in recent history. And I think we'll see the base turn out. So I wouldn't be afraid to align myself with the president.
Eric Nesbitt is running for the Republican nomination in the 26th State Senate District. That includes Allegan and Van Buren counties, as well as part of Kent County. Thank you very much for your time.
Thank you.
This is WMUK's West Southwest. I'm Gordon Evans.